Up next, listener questions and what to do when you leave your house for an extended period of time on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast. This is episode number 59 of the Handy Guys Podcast, and welcome to our world. We're here to answer your questions and to talk about handy things around the house, you know, how to be a handyman, handy guy, handy gal. Perhaps you're the one that always has to fix things in your home. Hopefully you can turn to us and get your questions answered, or perhaps you can even give us some suggestions on how to solve some of the problems that we face in our homes.
That's right. So, you know, you can always call us, email us, use our contact form, and we respond to your questions as fast as we can, within minutes or at least a couple of hours or a day, but we get back to everyone, don't
we? So what's the best way to contact us there, Brian?
I like the email or the contact form, but we also have the phone. We don't use that a whole lot, but feel free to leave a voicemail message. And if you want to follow up directly, leave your email on the voicemail and we'll email you back.
Yeah, so you can call us at 615-676-0877 or email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com or contact us
on our contact form at handyguyspodcast.com.
It's time for listener questions with the Handy Guys.
All right, this week, Brian, we got a question from Greg, who contacted the Handy Guys, and he's got an interesting one, Brian. I got to say, I have not heard this one before.
No, we get all kinds here.
All right, here it is. It says, our home is about a year and a half old, and we have a problem with the smoke detector. I'm thinking at this point that, you know, they're cooking and the kitchen smoke, right?
It's
you know,
always
they're
going
burning
off,
things.
Right. it's the alarm as to when dinner's done. Right.
That's just when you need to get a new cook. Okay, so it says, this particular detector is in the center of the downstairs area of the house, and directly above is the carpeted hallway. All the detectors in the house are fed by 120 AC with a 9-volt battery backup, which is standard for newer construction. They are also networked, for lack of a better term, which is correct. That just means that there's wiring, electrical wiring between all of them, and they actually run an extra conductor so that if one goes off, they all go off.
Yes.
He says when one alarms go, they all go off, as I just said. He says the problem detector seems to problem one here in the downstairs has a false alarm whenever someone vacuums the carpet directly above it, when one of the cats is rolling around on the carpet above it, that amazes me, or when someone is dragging their feet on the carpet above. I've never heard of anything like this before.
I never have either, Paul.
But it seems to me that static electricity is causing some kind of interference. Is there any way I can insulate or shield the detector without ripping apart a ceiling or floor? Man, he says, I performed tests on the detector every 4 to 6 months and it always functions properly. So I assume he means pushing in the test button.
Right.
What do you think, Brian?
I think the wrong path to go down is probably the shielding and destruction of the ceiling above.
Could he rip out about 8 square feet of drywall?
I don't think that that's going to be necessary here. My first thought as I was reading this email, Paul, was one problem that I've seen more in older homes, but it can happen in new construction as well, and that is the sensor gets dusty inside. And so if dust gets moved around because of air blowing or maybe someone walking on the floor up above, if it moves a little bit, then little particles of dust can set it off and the smoke detector thinks it's smoke.
Right.
So that was my first thought, but I can't imagine a cat rolling on the floor up above or causing that. Maybe someone walking and vacuuming at the same time, maybe, but the cat, that's throwing me for a loop.
Right, that part doesn't make a lot of sense. I can't imagine the cat could cause any problem. The cat's, unless this is like a 30-pound cat or something.
A 100-pound cat, like a Bengal tiger.
Yeah, right. What kind of cat is this? You know, 300 pounds? Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So So my suggestion to Greg was to try to just take a shop vac or one of those little vacuums you have around the home with a wand on it, open up the cover on the smoke detector, and just try to vacuum in and around the interior of the smoke detector, put it back together, see if that fixes the problem.
Right. Or, you know, one thing you might want to do, what I had suggested when we were talking about this before the show, is you could always, you know, those smoke detectors usually pop out. There's a little harness. You can pop out of its case.
And unplug it.
Its receptor. You can unplug it and just swap it out with another one. Just see what happens.
Right. Take one from another part of the house and see if the problem follows the smoke detector.
Right.
Or if it stays into the location.
Right. So if it stays in the location, then that would tell me that there's something about perhaps the wiring, how it's connected in the outlet there. So you have a electrical box where the electrical connection
maybe
is.
Maybe a loose connection is causing some kind of faulty alarm.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you have a metal box up there and there's a short that's occurring, like just by having weight in that area above it. So I don't know. It's pushing on the Romex cabling and it's just enough to hit the exposed wiring in there is touching the metal box. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is a stretch.
Right. But I think that's a stretch.
I don't know, Brian. It doesn't. None of this really. The static just doesn't make a whole lot of sense with a cat. Although I suppose, you know, static electricity could, if it somehow conducts
but
down
how
through,
is
maybe
it gonna conduct through.
Maybe a nail
floor
is going from the subflooring is going down and hitting a wire, and I don't know, Brian.
The first thing, vacuum it out or swap it out with another one in the house. Move it around. See if the problem follows the smoke detector. Vacuum it out, see if it's the dust. If it's still a problem, replace the smoke detector. They're what, 10, 15, 20, 30 bucks? I don't know.
Right.
And go from there.
I have another possibility there for you, Brian.
Okay, go for it.
How do you know that they're, does he know, or how does he know that they're triggering the one below the hallway and not something above, like maybe moving around on the carpet is making dust lift up, and there's one in the hallway that's actually
like up
triggering.
Above them on the second floor.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? All right. If you're going to swap them around, move them around, don't use the one from the hallway upstairs.
Right.
Use one from a bedroom or somewhere far away.
Exactly. And then, like you said, if the problem follows it, then just get a new one. They're pretty cheap.
Right.
But that's where I would go, is just start doing some troubleshooting. We do this in computers all the time. I'm in computer networking, and a lot of times you never know what causes an issue, but you fix it by a process of elimination. You start changing things and swapping out cables and things like that.
Exactly. So I think Greg, you're not going to need to open up that ceiling most likely, unless it's something really crazy, like Paul said, you know, like a nail from the subfloor up above nicking a piece of Romex, but that would cause other problems too. So not very likely, but you never know. Just try to eliminate the smoke detector first as a possible cause of the problem.
Greg, please get back to us. We got to know. I want to know what happens when you start trying some of these troubleshooting.
We've already emailed Greg, and we might actually have a solution before we record our next show. By the time this is on the air, he will have had our email for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. So hopefully we'll have an answer soon.
All right.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, Brian, so you want to leave your home for a vacation. And we talked last week about all the various controls, how to, you know, sort of the homeowner's manual of your house. By the way, we forgot one. We forgot about the valves for your outside faucets, if you have those.
That's right.
To shut those off during the winter if you're in a cold climate.
Yeah, so make sure you know where they are. That's a good point, Paul, because especially in an older house, you don't have the frost-free faucets on the outside of your house. So when the temperatures start to get approaching freezing, you've got to turn those off so the pipes outside don't freeze.
Okay, so Brian, let's talk about when you want to leave your home. We could start from everything from a weekend trip to a longer week or two to something even longer. What are the things you need to think about in order to prepare your home in order to leave? And let me just start with a weekend or trip. You know, around here, a lot of people go down to the beach. We call it down the shore.
And doesn't everyone say go down the shore?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, it's just down the shore, right?
Right.
And, you know, Brian, some people just lock their door and go. But I would highly recommend, from personal experience, actually relational experience, and also not only relatives, but people down the street, a couple people, you know, other friends we've had, that they did not turn the water off in their house when they left for the weekend, and they had some sort of leak, and they came back from their even short vacation, and they had water run out their home when they opened the front door. So you don't want that. I highly recommend that you shut your whole house water off, because there's a lot of things that could go wrong when you leave, even for a weekend, even if it's nice, it's not cold weather or anything like that. You could have a, you know, you could have a connection to a toilet fail. You could have your washing machine hoses fail, things like that, and you'll end up with a flood in your home.
You know, knock on wood, Paul, I've never had anything like that happen in one of my homes, and I don't know anyone personally that's had that happen to them. I've just heard the stories through you or secondhand. Good advice if you're going away for a long period of time. Personally, you know, I'll admit it here to our listeners, I don't do it.
Bad idea, man. I know three people personally that have had it happen. So,
you know,
anyway.
I do buy, you know, if I'm buying a supply line for a fixture or for the washing machine or whatever, I get the premium, you know, braided stainless steel lines and all
Absolutely.
That. But that's the extent of it.
Okay, so what do you do? You're thinking about a week or 2 week vacation. What are some of the things you need to think about before you leave your home?
Well, it's going to depend on the season, I think, Paul. If it's the middle of the summer, just turn off your air conditioner and turn off your water, like you said, lock everything up, and go.
If you have a security system, obviously, you'll need to configure that for vacation mode. What about your hot water heater?
There is a vacation setting on the hot water heater. That's a good point. I've never touched mine either.
I often forget. Occasionally, I remember, and I turn it to the vacation mode so that I'm not spending money on, you know, gas to heat the
right keeping the water hot, you know, for ready to go for a shower when no one's home. That's a very, very good point.
And now, if it's 100 degrees or 90 degrees, do you need to have some air conditioning? If you're in, I imagine if you're in Arizona or something, I wonder if that's a consideration when it goes up to 120 and you don't want, you know, your kids' toys to melt.
Right. I think that's going to be personal preference. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's always nice if it's, you know, a really hot middle of the summer, where especially around here it gets humid in the summer, to come home and not have the house be 110 degrees, especially if you've been somewhere, maybe camping or someplace that doesn't have air conditioning and you want to get home.
And you've been driving all day to get home. And
right. And then it's 110 degrees in the house.
Well, what we do is we turn off the air conditioner, but a neighbor has the key, and we ask them to turn it on, you know, the day that we're getting ready to leave from Maine or wherever we're going. And it's ready when we get home, and that's the way to go.
You know, there's some new technologies that we've kicked around, and we've talked about them way, way early show. And we haven't gone into them in depth, but you know, that allows you to remote control and remote monitor some of those kind of things. And maybe we'll take that up again on a future show.
Absolutely. I mean, those are some interesting technologies. But the only problem with them, though, I know I've looked at some of the cameras, and some people set up webcams to monitor their home. But, you know, when I'm on vacation, I don't want to know if there's someone in my house, right?
Well, I'm talking
that
about
that would
like,
ruin my vacation,
you know,
or
like,
if an alarm goes off.
You know, you get your new iPhone or whatever, or your BlackBerry, and on that screen, you get to just tap in there and say, turn the air conditioning on.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense. But I'm just thinking a lot of those technologies are connected into other smart home things. And, you know, it's you can control your thermostat, and you can control your cameras and your security system and all that. You know, I don't want to be thinking about my house when I'm, but it does, that some of that stuff makes sense. But and then you get an alert, you know, at 10 a.m. at night saying your air conditioning has failed to work. What are you going to do? You got to think about that and call somebody. It's, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
Now, what about in the wintertime?
Yeah, in the winter, then you want to definitely have some heat.
I agree.
Absolutely. You know, if it gets really cold, you don't want pipes freezing.
Right. I set mine, if I'm going away for an extended period of time, I set it at 50 degrees.
Even if you turn the water off and drain, you know, run some sinks so that the water runs out, you still, you have that house
there's
get really cold.
There's still water in those pipes.
Yeah, there's water in the pipes, and you talked about the traps even.
That's right. You know, I have a little vacation place that, you know, we use for, you know, 5 months out of the year. And in the wintertime, I put a special antifreeze designed for pipes. down in the trap. I could also open up the trap and just pour it out, but it's easier just to take a cup of this liquid and just dump it in there, and then I'm good to go for the winter.
And it just seems like things go wrong when you have that kind of temperature change, you know, wood flooring, pipes, drywall, wall cracks. I mean, it just seems like
things move.
Yeah, yeah. There's just so much
expansion,
more movement,
and contraction, and, yeah, and everything with changes in temperature.
So sure, it's nice to keep it at a steady temperature.
Right. In my my place that I go to just in the summers, it's cold. I mean, there's zero heat. But, you know, it's also not insulated, and it's been that way since 1890. So,
right.
You know, it's not going anywhere.
Okay, so you want heat running. You should turn off the water, as we mentioned before. Anything else you need to consider?
You know, whenever I'm going away on an extended trip, I'm always driving thinking, okay, was the coffee pot left on? Was the stove
right.
left on? Was there an iron left
right.
on? Did we...
And the answer is usually yes
something
to one of those things.
It probably was, you know.
So it's always good to have a good neighbor or friend who's local that can go and check on your home, you know.
Yeah, but you don't want to be calling them up, you know, 2 hours into your 10-hour drive and saying, you know what, I think I might have left the coffee pot on.
It's better than
to go
turning
check
around.
It.
It's better than turning around, you know.
But check it before you leave. You know,
right.
if you make a mental
sure.
checklist of all these kind of things,
yeah.
then...
That checklist is important. I always put a sticky note, turn water off on my door before I leave for vacation.
Do you really?
That I say, I think I usually have water and hot water. I've started putting on the hot water here, so I change
wow.
that.
You're very organized.
And I usually set lamps on timers so that they go on and off at night, so there are some lights. That's pretty easy to do. I don't have a...
Yeah, lights on timers, you know, so that... You know, your house
right.
looks occupied. And one thing we
turn I turn my security system on, of course.
Of course, right. And one thing we talked about on a show last year that, you know, I don't know how much traction this company has gotten, but there's that green switch. If you remember what the green switch is, I'll tell it for our listeners who may not have listened to that show. There's a company, I think it's called greenswitch.com. We'll have a link on the website. But essentially what they are proponents of is you have a one master switch towards your front door, and you throw that switch and it turns everything off. All of your appliances that maybe are sucking power.
Not necessarily
while you're
everything,
away.
But
right.
key
not
outlets.
The refrigerator
right.
and stuff like that. But you know, you've got your digital video recorder plugged into your, you know, cable or satellite. Those things are on all the time and consuming power.
All your rechargers, you know,
all
for
the
your
chargers,
drills,
you know, all these things. Yeah, your cordless impact driver that you're using for your deck project,
right?
So those things, if they're charging, are all using juice. So if you're worried about that, you want to look into that green switch technology or just go unplug the dang thing.
And I think there's a company that also makes, in the similar vein, a switch for your water. So you can just easily turn your water off. And it's a switch, and there's a wire that runs down to a valve that you connect to your main valve, or you put in a special valve where your water is fed from the street. If you have a well system, I assume you can hook it up to that as well. And
right. Well, with the well, you can just turn the well pump off.
Well, yeah. Either
right.
way, a switch, right,
right,
connected to your pump, right?
Sure.
So now my concern about that is maybe not as much in the case of the well, but in the where you have city water, is you're introducing another way for air somehow. You know, you just have this electronic switch, and is that really going to work? Yeah, I suppose, but I like the old-fashioned ball valve. Just turn it
yeah,
and done.
Just turn it off and be done with
but
it.
But there is some convenience. You know, you can just flip the switch every time you walk out of the house, or, you know, for that weekend trip, you just hit the switch, done, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you do when you get back from your vacation then, you know, your week-long vacation? Is there anything we need to know about when you kind of bring your house back to life? What's the first thing you do when you get home?
Well, we'll talk about that after this.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, Brian, the first thing I do is I turn the water on so that we can go to the bathroom.
Do you clear the rooms? Do you make sure there's no one hiding under the bed or anything like that?
I don't know. I don't think there's anything in my house to steal, so sometimes I'll walk through. Then I, if the air conditioner is not on, I turn it on. If the heat's down low, I turn it up, that sort of thing. And then I figure out, you know, what we're going to do about food.
That's right. Who's going to the grocery store?
The refrigerator is usually empty and there's not much, you know. Here's a key thing that we did not talk about before you leave.
What's that?
For an extended trip. This is very important. Maybe the most important thing that we completely missed. Clean your house before you leave. Keep it clean, because then when you come back, it's so much nicer. You come back to a clean house.
Right.
I'm telling you, that is a major stumbling block for us. If we get home from a long drive, there's nothing more depressing than walking into a messy home. It's already messy enough to bring all your stuff in from the car.
Right, you bring all the stuff in from the car.
But if you have a clean kitchen and
you've got like 97 loads of laundry to do when you get home and everything else.
Right, but if you have a clean kitchen, a clean family room, clean bedrooms, believe me, it feels so much better. You know, you can get a good night's sleep and have a clean house.
And then your wife can deal with everything in the morning, right?
So that's one of the things we try to work on. And that does take a lot of work, because when you're getting ready to leave for a long trip, it's hard to be thinking about cleaning at the same time.
Yeah, we try to do that sometimes, or my wife does anyway. And it doesn't always happen, but sometimes it does. And you're right, it is nice to come home.
Brian, what about a longer, you know, maybe you have to leave your home, or it's a rental property or something like that for 6 months, 4 months, 2 months, whatever, longer than just a couple weeks? A season, maybe you go down to Florida for the winter.
Well, let's talk about, I think we touched on refrigerators, you know, like, you know, going out and shopping and whatever, you know, when you get home, who's going to do that? If you're going to be away for a long period of time, you're going to want to take anything perishable out of the refrigerator.
Sure.
You're going to want to defrost it if it's not a frost-free model, and you're going to want to unplug it and leave the doors open. I can't stress
absolutely,
that enough.
Yeah.
Leave the doors open.
Yeah.
Because otherwise that will get disgusting.
You'll
and moldy
your...
and it's going to be out for the junkyard.
Exactly.
Because you'll never get it clean again.
So do you need to unplug it, or can you just turn it off?
Unplug it.
Okay.
I kill on mine in my place in the campground. I unplug it. Actually, I turn the whole all the power off, and I defrost it and dry it out, and I leave the doors open.
I know a lot of homes, especially around here, have sump pumps. They have water problems in their basements, and I imagine you need to keep that connected with electrical, and perhaps even a battery backup as well.
That's a good point. If you have anything in that basement that's going to be potential or in danger of getting wet, if you do have a flood, make sure. You know, you're going to kill the power to most everything, but leave it on the sump pump if you can.
Yeah. Okay, so those are some additional things to consider for a longer extended periods of time. Obviously, if you're going to be away longer, you want people to be able to check on the house. You need to consider, you know, the landscaping, you know.
Right, make sure the lawn gets mowed and things like that.
I used to get all those free, like, newspapers that get thrown on the lawn in my old house. I don't get them anymore, but they were a big pain.
I do.
Do you? And just flood your yard, and fortunately, we don't get those. But still, you have to deal with that.
Or then you ask a neighbor, oh, would you bring in the newspaper?
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure. And then they forget, and you come home, and there's like 50 newspapers piled
right
up outside the house.
Yeah. All right. So that's what to do for an extended period. If we've missed anything, please let us know what we've missed either in this week or last week, because usually there's something, and we're always looking for listener feedback.
That's right. You can just click on where it says comments on our show notes, and you can go ahead and throw in comments there, and we'll respond to them as well. And if you have any show ideas or questions about how to do things around your house, you can always use our contact information on the website, get in touch with us, and we'll answer you. And so that's all I got, Paul.
Brian, I want to talk about one other thing.
One more thing. All right.
The Handy Guys Podcast Store. We haven't talked about it in a while, but we do have a store on our website. It's we sell you the same items that you'll find on Amazon.com, but it helps keep the show on the air, or
that's
on
right
the on the internet, I guess it is. And
it's on the air. We can say that.
And so check it out. We only put items in there for the most part that we've either used or have had experience with. On occasion, we put tools that we haven't used, but ones that we recommend for a specific project.
Right. So if you just click on our top recommendations, you'll see that list there. Or you can just go in there and search if there's anything in the entire Amazon catalog that's within, you know, tools and home improvement sort of categories. You can find and search out those items.
And with that, we will talk to you next week with another episode of the Handy Guys Podcast.
Bye.